Well, it'd be my joy if you would join me in Psalm 17. Psalm 17, my name's Lance Parrott. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ Fellowship Church. I'm also one of the proud members of the fifth place team in the 3-on-3 tournament yesterday that Christ Fellowship had. Fifth place, it's pretty good. I'm old, so I'm the old guy out there. But we had a lot of joy yesterday, a lot of men in this church just fellowshipping together. We read here in Psalm 17, a prayer of David. Not a song of David, but a prayer from a desperate man, King David. And he says this, "Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From your presence let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. You have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me, and you will find nothing. I have purposed that my heart, my mouth, will not transgress. With regard to the works of man, by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior, of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who do me violence, my deadly enemies who surround me. They close their hearts in pity. With their mouths they speak arrogantly. They have now surrounded our steps. They have set their eyes to cast us to the ground. He is like a lion eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in ambush. Arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life. You fill their womb with treasure. They are satisfied with children, and they leave their abundance to their infants. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness." Let's pray together. Lord, in a room, Lord, full of people who are great sinners and need a Savior. In a room, Lord, full of insecure people that need to find security in something other than ourselves. Lord, in a room where people feel restless and hopeless, Lord, we pray, satisfy us this morning with your steadfast love. Lord, satisfy us this morning with your steadfast love that we might rejoice and be glad all our days. Until the day that we see your face, until the day we behold the face of Jesus and we be made like him, for we will see him as he is. Lord, in this room, Lord, for sinners like us, would you wondrously show us your steadfast love? We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, how is your heart doing today? How is your heart doing today? I'm not talking about the empty phrases we often give to one another when we walk in. Phrases like, "I'm good," "I'm blessed by the best." All these empty phrases that we heap on one another. I'm talking about in the inside of your heart, the heart that nobody else can see, but the Lord searches and knows right now. What's going on in your heart? Would you say that it was really easy for your heart to be in tune with the prayers that you heard earlier? Would you say it's been easy for your heart to sing of his love, to sing of hope, to sing of his peace? Was it easy for you to sing this morning? What's going on in your heart this morning? Would you say your heart's hopeful? With the emphasis on full, or would you Would you say that you feel hopeless today? Would you say that you're experiencing in a real way God's peace, God's presence today? Or would you say that you feel restless in your soul? Are you full of faith, trusting and clinging to Jesus? Or are you lacking faith, lacking confidence in Him? Would you describe yourself as full of joy, as easy to sing? Or would you say that your heart feels empty? That it feels numb today? Whatever is going on in your heart today, the Lord sees it. The Lord knows it. Did you know that King David didn't always feel like singing? Did you know that? Did you know that King David, the writer of all these beautiful songs, of many of the beautiful songs that we find in the book of Psalms, he didn't always feel like singing. In certain times, he felt hopeless. In certain times, he felt forgotten. In certain times, he felt alone. He felt like the unceasing love of the Lord had ceased for him. Notice this psalm is titled A Prayer of David. It's not a song of David. Not a psalm. It's a broken-hearted prayer. There's only two psalms that start like that. A Prayer of David. It is a broken-hearted lament from a man who can't sing anymore. From someone who does not feel like singing, and all he can do is just grasp for the words to cry out for help. Now, we don't know the exact occasion for David's prayer here. What we do know is that he feels all alone, that he feels like he's being attacked, that his enemies are surrounding him. And if you know the life of David, this is something that happened more than once. It's something that he was familiar with as people surrounding him his whole life. Whether it was lions and tigers and bears, oh my, out in the field as a shepherd boy. Or whether he was standing against the Philistine giant Goliath. Or whether King Saul was coming to strike him with a spear, or even his very own son, Absalom, who would surround him and attack him and pursue him. David knew what it was like to feel forgotten like you. He knew what it was like to feel all alone like you. He knew what it was like to feel like he wasn't being heard, to feel like all he could do is cry out for help because he did not have a song in his heart. Whatever is going on, whoever was after him, David turns again to the Lord. He knows his only hope is to turn again and to turn again and to turn again to the Lord. Even when he can't sing, he desperately clings to the Lord, who will never leave nor forsake his people. And this morning, brothers and sisters, you can do the same. Listen, I don't know what's going on in your heart this morning, but whatever is going on, I don't know if you're like King David, who you are feeling attacked by the words of people in your life. You're feeling surrounded by people who are coming against you, maybe by their actions. Or maybe this morning you feel attacked because of great sin. You feel attacked because you feel alone in suffering. You feel like there's temptation that's too strong for you to overcome. I don't know your heart, but the good news this morning is that the Lord does. The Lord knows your heart. And Psalm 17 is inviting us to turn again, to cry out again, to rest in Him, the Lord who never leaves nor forsakes you. So I don't know how you've dealt with despair or depression or anxiety or temptation in the past when you have a songless heart, but This prayer of David gives us a path to pray with confidence. Whatever we're facing, we can pray with confidence, knowing no matter what's going on outside of us or inside of us, we can pray with confidence because of Jesus. We can pray with confidence because of this reality, this gospel reality, that no matter who you are today, if you are in Christ, He sees you. He hears you. You are secure in Him because you are completely righteous in Christ. You are His. So I'm praying the Lord would give us a heart of confidence by showing us more of Jesus today. Here's the first thing we see here today is that the righteous are seen and heard in Jesus. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are seen and heard in Jesus. That's how David begins his prayer, asking the Lord, Lord, would you hear me? Lord, would you look at me? Lord, could you please come to my rescue? Look at verse 1. He says, hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From your presence, let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. He's praying that the God of heaven would turn his ear towards him and listen to his prayer. He's praying that the Lord of heaven would turn his gaze to see him in his time of trouble. And not just hear him and not just see him, but to come and to meet him there, to answer his prayer. That's a pretty bold request. It's a pretty bold request to ask the God of heaven to stop everything to listen to you. To pause everything, to take notice of you, and to hear you in this moment. So why is David praying with such confidence that the Lord would do this? How could he pray with such confidence? Well, his hope is found in being righteous before God. He says this, give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. No deceit found in his mouth. He says in verse 2, let your eyes behold the right. He's saying, look at me. Look at me because I am a righteous king. He even has the audacity to say in verse 3, you have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me and you will find nothing. Did you hear that? You'll look at me and you will find nothing. You can come to me even in the middle of the night when no one else is around, when no one else is looking, and you'll find nothing against me. I don't know about you, but the nighttime is like my lowest moment sometimes. In the night, I promise you, I have killed more people with my anger in the middle of the night than any other time. Been more frustrated in my heart. I've experienced more crisis of faith or less assurance in those moments. I've had anxiety about death or worries about tomorrow. Maybe you've been there in the middle of the night when no one else is around. The enemy loves to attack me in the dark, loves to stir up lust, loves to stir up pride, loves to hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness in the middle of the night. And yet, did you hear David? David says, you can check my words. You can look at my thoughts. You can know my motives. And even in the middle of the night, you will find nothing. I'm righteous. Wow. My guess is that in this room this morning, there are two great obstacles for you to pray with this kind of confidence. Probably different people are struggling with different ones, but there are two great obstacles that keep you from praying with confidence like David, like this. The first obstacle is your unrighteousness. It's your sin that's ever before your face that we fix on. We fix our eyes on. It's that feeling that you know that you are not enough before God. This is most of our biggest obstacles to prayer. Because right now, your identity, even in this moment, is your sin. When you see you, when you think of you, you think of your sin. You see yourself covered in shame. It's like a heavy weight upon your life, even in this moment. And you feel like if anyone saw me, saw the real me in the dark, they would leave. They'd have nothing to do with me. And then you know, because we know the scriptures, that the Lord does see you. The Lord does see me. So why would he look, or why would he listen to anyone like me? Why would he listen to someone who would look at that on a computer screen? Why would he look at or listen to someone who would say that to that person or do that to this person? Why would he do that? And all you see is your unrighteousness. All you see is that you're not enough. That's the first obstacle for a lot of us right now. But the second obstacle is your self-righteousness. Maybe some of you, your struggle is not your unrighteousness. Your struggle is your self-righteousness. It's your best effort to be enough for God. And the reason this is an obstacle is because pursuing self-righteousness can never produce confidence before God. You can try as hard as you want to be enough, to try to be self-righteous, but you will always come up short. You will always come up short. And all this will do, all this can do in our hearts is do nothing but stir up distrust. Stir up a lack of assurance before God, an anxious spirit before God, even a prayerlessness. And how this often works out in every one of our lives when we're looking at our righteousness, our performance, is maybe we'll pray when we feel like we're good, when we feel like we're enough, but we'll keep our distance when we know we've fallen short. We'll run from the Lord instead of running to him. Listen, the only way we can be truly confident that God will see any of us, hear any of us this morning, is if we're completely righteous. And the good news of the gospel is that at the cross of Jesus Christ, Jesus took all of your sins upon himself, and he covered you completely in his perfect righteousness. So that now when God sees you, he says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," because when he sees you, he sees Jesus. You are enough. You are clean. You are spotless. You are pure, not because of you, but because of Jesus. Listen, this is exactly what happened in the heart of John Bunyan. Maybe you've heard the conversion of John Bunyan, the one who's written the best-selling book besides the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress. This is the story of his conversion. This is him telling his story in his autobiography. He says this: "One day as I was passing into the field, and that too with some dashes on my conscience, fearing lest all was still not right in my soul, suddenly," he says, "this sentence fell upon my soul, 'Thy righteousness is in heaven.' And I thought I saw with the eyes of my soul Jesus Christ at God's right hand. There I say, 'As my righteousness.' So that wherever I was and whatever I was doing, God could not say of me, he lacks my righteousness, for that righteousness was right before him. I also saw that it was not my good frame of heart that made my righteousness better, nor my bad frame that made my righteousness worse, for my righteousness was Jesus Christ himself, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now did my chains fall off my legs. Indeed, now I went home rejoicing for the grace and love of God. Here, therefore, I lived for some time very sweetly at peace with God through Christ. Oh, I thought, Christ, Christ, there was nothing but Christ before my eyes. I don't have to worry anymore. I don't have to fret anymore. I can pray with confidence now. Why? Because my righteousness is in heaven. The righteousness that's the same yesterday, today, and forever in Jesus. And a heart like this can pray with confidence, can pray with David in verse 6. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Why can you have the audacity to say that you will answer me, O God? Not because of your righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ. Brothers and sisters, the Lord sees you and hears you right now because you're completely righteous in Christ. The second thing we see is that the righteous are secure in the love of Jesus. The righteousness are secure in the love of Jesus. After he asked the Lord to listen to him and to look upon him, listen to what David says in verse 7. Listen to this request. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge. He says, Lord, would you put on display for my heart? And would you put on display for everyone else that you have set your love on me and that it is safe to hide in you? That word, steadfast love, it's the word hesed. It's the covenant-keeping, loving kindness of God for his people. It's his unceasing love. His love that endures forever. His endless love that has no expiration date. You can go a trillion years in the future and there will never be a split second of pause in God's love for his people. The Jesus Storybook Bible says this, if you read it to your kids, it's God's never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Again, this love is completely secured for you. It's not secured by you. No, it's secured because God has set his love upon you. David asked the Lord in verse 8, keep me as the apple of your eye. Keep me as the delight of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. I mean, this is covenant language found in the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy. It's covenant language of God who rescued his people out of Israel, out of Egypt, and he calls Israel his treasured possession. It's God saying how much he loves you and delights in you. God's saying he delights in you, and you can hide in him. Let me ask you, friend, today, what would it do for your heart this morning to know you are completely secure? What would it do for your heart if you could, without a shadow of a doubt, could know you are fully loved? What would it do for your confidence, for your peace, to hear God say over you, you are loved. You are mine. You're the apple of my eye. The anxiety of our hearts, the lack of peace that we often feel. I think a lot of times it's due to the fact that we think that God's love is fickle like our love. We think God's love is a lot like our love. You feel like God's love is dependent on your love. God's love is dependent on your performance, how good or how bad you are. It's dependent on your got it all togetherness. But listen to what Romans 5:8 says about God's love. Romans 5:8 says this: God wondrously shows, God displays, God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were not enough, when we were unlovable, when we were unworthy, when we did not have it all together, God wondrously showed his steadfast love to us. So that if we were to pray right now to the Lord, Lord, wondrously show your steadfast love for me, he would just say, look at the cross of Jesus Christ. Look at the cross. Just look at the cross, brother, sister. One glance at the cross of Jesus Christ should silence every doubt in your heart whether or not God loves you. Every doubt in your heart. For while you were still a sinner, while you were unworthy, while you were unlovable, God set his love on you and sent his one and only Son for you. The problem is when you and I are wronged, when we're under attack, this isn't really what we want, is it? When we're like David and people are surrounding us or against us, this is not what we're typically praying for. We want to be vindicated. We want our name to be cleared. We want everybody to see that we are right and they should know it. Like when someone questions my motives, I'm in my heart, what I'm praying is, God, would you show them my motives are pure? When someone questions my character, God, would you please show up and come to my defense for my name's sake? For my name's sake, right? When Rebecca and I get into an argument, Rebecca's my wife, I'm like, God, make it abundantly clear. You know it, God. I know it. Will you please show her right now how right I am? Is that only me here? Like, somebody questions my driving. Oh, that's like the worst, right? It's on, right? I will drop you off at the corner. Sadly, what I really want is to be right. I want to be vindicated. I want my name to be cleared. But look at this verse in Revelation 3. Listen to what King Jesus says about his church. I was so helped by a friend, Tim Kaine, who showed me this insight. Look at what he says here in Revelation 3. Jesus says this to his church: behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, you could just put your enemies, who say that they are Jews and are not but lie, behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that you are right. Not what it says. Even though that's what we want, even though that's what we long for, even though that's what we pray for. But God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, He does not settle for giving us what we want. He gives us exactly what our hearts need. And this is what Jesus says. He says, behold, I will make them come, all your enemies, I will make them come and bow down before your feet. And they will learn that I have loved you. They will learn that I have set my love upon you. That's what our hearts need more than anything else. That's what your heart needs this morning. When you're filled with anxiety, when you're filled with unbelief, when you're attacked by temptations or by enemies, when your heart can't sing, you need God by His Spirit to say, you are loved. You're mine. You're the apple of my eye because you are hidden in Jesus. There's not a more secure place in the universe than in Jesus Christ. He is more secure than any number on any bank account. He's more secure than any president in the White House. He's more secure than any perfect blood work that comes back. And more secure than any approval that you could ever get from anybody. Any approval you could get from any earthly mother, any earthly father. He's more secure than anything. His steadfast love that endures forever. Heard a pastor say the other day, if you could gather all the love of every earthly mother and every earthly father who's ever loved before, all the love, all the affection, all the kindness of every earthly father and every mother that has ever loved before and poured upon your head, it would be shallow compared to the love of God through Jesus Christ for you. It would feel like a drop compared to the love of God through Jesus Christ for you. Even preaching right now, I feel like I've gone all the way to the ocean with a thimble, and I'm bringing it back and telling you, look, this is the ocean. Like, this is the love. This is the love I'm talking about, and it feels like it pales in comparison to the love that's really in Christ. But here's the good news, brothers and sisters. This phrase here, this prayer that God put in His Word, wondrously show your steadfast love, was put in God's Word not to disappoint you, but so you could drown in His love. So you could hear God by the power of the Holy Spirit say, you are loved. You are mine. You're the apple of my eye because you're hidden in Christ. Finally, we see the righteous will see and be satisfied in Jesus. One of the reasons it's so hard to believe that we're seen or we're heard or we're loved is because we're living in this life. We're living in this world. We find ourselves crying out to God, for God to rescue us, but nothing seems to be happening. And then to top it all off, we look at the world. We look at those who are rebelling against God, those who are wicked, and it seems like everything's going good for them. Seems like the wicked are prospering even when the righteous are suffering. And Psalm 17:10 says, the wicked close off their hearts to pity. They have zero compassion for me. And says that when their mouths, they speak arrogantly. They're so boastful. They're so prideful. They're so filled with arrogance when they attack me. David says they're like their leader, Satan, who roams around like a lion, seeking someone he can devour, ready to ambush it every time. And not only that, he says in verse 14, they're even happy. They seem satisfied with their earthly treasures, with their life here and now. They seem satisfied with all the blessings they have now. Maybe it's hard for you to sing today because you feel unseen or unheard or insecure or forgotten by God. Maybe you've cried out like David, arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him, deliver my soul, and yet it seems like God's doing nothing. While everyone around you, everything's going good for everybody around you. What's the point in even praying? What's the point in believing God has forgotten me? Has your heart ever felt that way? But listen to the prayer of confidence from the lips of David. Listen to the very last verse. He says this. Verse 15, "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness." David prays with great confidence, and he doesn't stutter at all. He doesn't hesitate at all. There's no questioning in his heart. With complete certainty, he says, "I will see his face. And when I see him, I will be satisfied. When I see him, I will be made like him." Do you hear it? David has resurrection hope in his heart. Resurrection hope that no matter how hard this life can be, no matter how harshly he can be attacked, no matter how deep the valley, no matter what people could say about him or say to him, one day he will behold God's face. One day he will see God's face. And listen, if David can pray this with this kind of hope on that side of the cross, brothers and sisters, we can pray with even greater hope on this side of the cross. Because we know the death, the wondrous death of Jesus that was died for us on the cross. And we've seen that they rolled the stone away and Christ wasn't there, but the tomb was empty. Oh, we can pray with even greater confidence because the Father gave His one and only Son for us. And after Jesus wondrously showed his steadfast love for sinners like you and me at the cross on the third day, Jesus rose gloriously in victory over the grave, defeating every single one of our enemies. He rose in complete victory over your sin forever. Complete victory over death, where now even we can say, "Death, where is your sting?" Complete victory over all of our enemies. Brothers and sisters, if you're in Christ today, Jesus' victory is your victory. Jesus' victory is your victory. Maybe you all saw it a couple weeks ago, but Scottie Scheffler, Sunday morning after he won the Masters on Sunday afternoon, he said, "It really didn't matter if I win or lost because my victory was already secured at the cross." The same is true for you. No matter what is to come, your victory is already secure in the cross. Jesus is risen and reigning right now in heaven. And his victory is your victory. His resurrection makes your resurrection certain. This is exactly what the Apostle John promises will happen for all believers in Jesus. Look at 1 John 3:2 as we close. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, we are God's children now." Listen, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we will know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Sons and daughters of the King. Sons and daughters of the risen King. One day you will see Jesus. You will see Jesus on the other side of all your sickness and all your suffering and all your sadness, your sadness, and you will be satisfied. And you will be sanctified completely. Forever. That's the climax of the whole Bible. The climax of the whole Bible is found in Revelation 22:4. Five simple words you should underline them in your Bible. If you want to know where the Bible's headed, what the climax verse of the whole Bible is, this. Five simple words that give you hope today. Five simple words that will make you not lose heart. Five simple words that will help us keep going in the worst attacks. They will see His face. They will see His face. You will, brothers and sisters in Christ, see His face. So don't lose heart. Don't give up. You are seen and heard right now in Jesus. You are secure, as secure right now that you'll ever be in the love of Jesus. And one day you will see Him and you will be satisfied forever. And when that day comes, it will never be hard to sing ever again. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the perfect, righteous life of Jesus and the perfect sinner's death, that He died to take our place, and on the third day that He rose again to give us victory, victory over sin and death. So I pray, Lord, this morning for those who are hidden in Jesus. Those who are hidden in Jesus, that they would with confidence cry out to You because You see them and You hear them because they're completely righteous in Christ. Lord, I pray that You would wondrously show them Your steadfast love in this moment, that You would, by the power of the Holy Spirit, pour the love, Your love, into their hearts. Pour it into their hearts, knowing that they are secure forever in the love of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that You would fill us with hope, knowing that one day we will see the face of Jesus. And on that day, Lord, we will not be disappointed, but Lord, we will see Him and be satisfied. And Lord, we will sing with joy because we will be free forever. Lord, if anyone's here today who's never turned from their sins and placed all their faith in Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray You would draw them to Yourself. Lord, that You would wondrously show them Your love for sinners, that they might know what it means to call You Savior and Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.